Sweet 16 starts.
And then we saw Philip Lindsay walk in like a few minutes after. Like, was that Phil? Does he have a rainfall? Right. Like, that was like, oh.
He kept looking over his shoulder as he was walking in.
He's sweating a little bit. Yeah. Huh.
It's like, what's going on there, Phil? The Avs, Stoke, and I actually want to play a clip real quick. TNT had hockey last night, and it's, of course, Biz. Biz loves him some McKinnon, but was talking about how great he is and how he is certainly in the conversation, if not the front runner, for the Hart.
And if you don't have Nathan McKinnon in your top two right now in today's NHL, do you think you should have your vote removed?
Oh, 100%. I mean, hey, listen, there might be the God guy that the Tampa Bay guy might say, you know, I'm voting for Kucherov. I saw him play 80 games. And then McDavid could be two and McKinnon could be three. That's how he could fall to number three. But not from people in the West. They've seen him play too much. The guy's an animal out there. He's a horse. Him and McDavid deserve all the attention they're getting.
So Biz all over it.
He's an animal out there. He's a horse. Love it.
I feel like I'm not in the minority on this because it's kind of it's an overall consensus. Maybe not a consensus, but more people feel like it than I do. Wayne Gretzky's terrible on TV.
Yeah, I don't really watch.
I could go without him forever.
That's my guy though.
As a hockey player.
Yeah, I met him once. He was a really nice guy. Like, it was like 5:30 in the morning, Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Going, you know, late night. Yeah. Late night. But we got early tea time. Early tea time. The Wynn. Playing out right out the back steps of the Wynn. Yeah. But late night, right? And we're wandering down there, and one of the guys is getting coffee. Two of my buddies are talking to someone. I'm like, who are they talking to? Like, this guy's like, looks like an older guy, probably from Denver that they knew. So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, all right, let's get this coffee. Let's get going here. Like, it's like, seriously, 5:45 in the morning, like, not feeling all that great.
Right.
All of a sudden, those guys move, and it's like, holy, they're talking to Wayne Gretzky.
Nice.
And so they're like, hey, Wayne, you know, introduce. I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, I was like, this is really cool right now. And I had a Grove hat on, Jordan's course, because I just played down there. That's where Dustin Johnson, his son-in-law, plays a lot.
Okay.
I think Wayne's down there a lot, obviously.
Name drop.
So I'm pulling my Mark Schlereth for the day. I want a day, right?
Take your vibe.
I want to be like Mark. So he was like, oh, the Grove, that's a great place to play, whatever. And so we just started chatting about it. And then I asked my buddies, I'm like, how'd y'all start talking to Wayne? He's like, he saw our golf clothes and our clubs, and he just started talking to us out of the blue.
Oh, he initiated?
Yeah, he did. He did. I'm like, Wayne was great. Yeah. But I don't watch him on TV. Okay. So I had to shoehorn me and Wayne in there somehow today. There we go.
Well, let me give you a piece
of
advice.
That's my buddy. We talk on the phone once a week.
Can I give you a piece of advice?
Yeah.
Don't watch him on TV.
Yeah. Okay.
He is not great.
He's bad.
He is bad.
Mm-hmm.
He is bad. He is not, you know, just because you're good at one thing doesn't mean you're good at another.
Yeah.
And
have Stoke throw a football.
What? Why is this Bass Stoke for the first segment of the drive today?
Yeah, I want to say you weren't good at quarterback.
No, I know. And now, especially now, because of my shoulders all jacked up, I got to throw underhand.
But catching, now that guy.
Yeah.
That's where he's
That's it. Did y'all see the police presence out there?
I heard
Phil,
about it.
I thought they were looking for you for a second. No, I came in
right after you.
I did too. Bad boys. What you going to do?
What the heck? I heard you I didn't hear the whole thing, but I heard... You say it was an old Range Rover. They threw down the spike strips.
Dude, it was action.
What?
The thing beat out and it took a right out of here down the street and like.
So it was here, like right here.
It was
right
in
here.
In this parking lot
and all kinds of
things.
Dude, cop cars everywhere on every exit right there. The guy was going in the parking lot. All of a sudden, the cop put on the lights, took off. And then they tried to throw the spike strips down. I don't know if it hit or missed. Looked like he missed. A little bit late on the throw down there.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he's
gone. And that's just, I don't know. We were trying to get an update.
Stoke, I heard that you've seen like the guy earlier, right? In the morning
when
he
walked
here?
Yes, this morning when I was walking by because I noticed it because it's like right in front where we walk in the door. His car was there and there wasn't a ton of cars there. And like it was an older Range Rover. So it's like you don't see those that often, right? Yeah. I mean, most of them like they're... Because 20-year Range Rovers, they ain't lasting, right?
Yeah.
And so it's an old-school body style. Like, oh, okay, that's unique. And I heard it start, and you could hear, like, kind of the hydraulic in the car. And I just thought, like, okay, that's it. And then just walked into work. And the next thing you know, I see that car getting chased by 10 police cars.
That is wild.
How many people were in it?
I didn't see it. No, I didn't. Okay. I wasn't casing the Range Rover.
Like,
what you got in there, bro? What you doing? What you got going on?
You will be that neighbor, that nosy neighbor.
will this be on the news?
I know to stay in my lane, man.
This has got to be on the news.
You would think, right? I mean,
if it goes over the scanner, sometimes the news people listen to that stuff.
Bro, it was over the scanner. When you have 10 cop cars in this parking lot, it's going down. So it wasn't like somebody that just was like...
Well, did they draw their guns?
I didn't see any guns.
Well, he had the spike strip. That was the only thing he had out. But.
Right. And you said he missed. No good.
It didn't look like it.
Like he said he was late?
I think it was a little bit late.
Russell Wilson pass?
He did a 180 spin and then threw the spikes and it was incomplete.
He escaped the pocket. Too late. Guy's gone. Oh, sorry, Russ.
Oh, my God.
How are you late on that? I would be
That's
early.
A great question.
But someone said, like, you know, you want to time it out right because if you mess it up, you know, next thing you know, that car is running into you.
Right.
Or trying to escape the spike strips because they see it and then they beeline and they hit
you or whatever the case may be.
So
right.
It didn't look like it was. I think it would be longer.
I could
stand further back.
Right.
So I don't know all the details though. I'd like to get an update though. Hopefully we can get an update.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's Major League Baseball opening day.
Yeah.
And
we're fired up, dude.
What an opportunity. No, seriously. Okay, seriously. Sorry. Rocky stuff aside. And this is my bet.
Here he goes. This is what he does. Go ahead.
What am I about to say?
You're about to talk about MLB missing the opportunity to put games on TV today. This is their stand-alone day, right?
I have been waging this campaign for years.
Don't you too well, man.
What an opportunity for Major League Baseball. This should be your day.
Yeah.
This is your day. It's opening day. We literally have a name for it. It's opening day. And you got the entire league in action. We got the Dodgers going. We got the Braves, the Astros, the Yankees, the Mets. You know how many games are on national TV today? One.
Mm.
And it's going to go head-to-head with North Carolina and Alabama tonight. And it's the Chicago Cubs at the Texas Rangers. That's what you get today on national TV. And so when you're being lowered into your casket in 10 years, don't act confused. Because you should be showcasing your stars. I should not be able to turn from a advertisement standpoint and not know when Ohtani is playing.
Yeah.
I should know when Aaron Judge is playing. Like Acuña, like and I don't know anything. And because it's not mandatory, it's not a pushed in my face from an advertising standpoint. We work with a guy named Sean Gates. He takes pictures and does videos and stuff with us. And,
what's up, Sean?
And Gator. And he's a
Gator don't play it.
That's from the other guys.
That's good, dude.
Will Ferrell. But I said, you know what's going on today in sports? He's like, I said, today's opening day, Sean. He's like, oh, no, I didn't know.
Wow.
This is someone who's in his mid-30s and is a sports fan. He's like, I knew it was coming up, but like I didn't know it was today. I just, like, that's a failure of baseball right there.
Now, baseball has deals with Fox, like TBS or TNT, whatever.
Yep.
ESPN, obviously, carries Sunday. So you're absolutely right. Every one of those stations would be playing a game all day long. Yep. We would have games all throughout the day on all of, like ESPN2. And DU's playing UMass in the Frozen Four, they call it. That would not be on TV. They would be playing the Dodgers Braves today, right now.
Yes.
The Astros Yankees are coming on at some point. Like, these games would be on TV all day long. This is our opener. We want to signal to everybody, hey, we're here.
Yep.
Spring training's done.
Yes.
Because if not, Sean doesn't know.
No.
Most people, if I wasn't doing radio, Rockies aren't playing here.
Right,
I wouldn't
exactly.
know. I'd
exactly.
be like, okay, it's starting today. Okay, whatever. But you got to put it out there.
Yep.
Zach, you said 10 years. You think that's the timeline for this?
Well, I'm kind of spitballing.
No,
baseball
I know.
Will probably always be around, but it's like, I don't even know if they get segments in 10 years.
Mm.
I don't like, and there's only a few markets that talk baseball on sports talk radio.
Yep.
Towns like Boston, New York, the Dodgers are big in LA. And if the Rockies win four in a row, we'll talk about them. But like, it's already it's already on the back burner. It's already on simmer. And here's the kicker, guys. 2/3 of the league are playing during the day.
Yeah.
First pitch is in 2 minutes for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, nine games. That's 18 teams. That's two-thirds of the sport. Orioles and
Angels
are already started. Yeah. So you only have
Mike Trout. Orioles got a great young team, mm-hmm. and
they're dominating.
Why is that game not on TV right now? You have nothing else on a Thursday at 2:00.
There's only actually four games tonight. The rest of them are during the day, and nothing's on TV. It's just so stupid.
It's bizarre,
and I like baseball. It's my fourth. But I like it. Yeah, I enjoy it. I root for the Rockies. I got my gear on today. But it's like, dude, I.
But here's the question.
I can't help you.
Here's the question, okay? Because these people aren't that dumb. Okay, let's just be honest. They're not that dumb. Well, like, why? Why? You know they think about this stuff. I mean, it's not like they don't even think about ratings and marketing their guys. Like, why would they not push for this?
But
then?
Don't you think that's
What's
answer?
The reason?
Is ratings and market? Like, so if ESPN, what do they got, PTI and Around the Horn and stuff in the mm-hmm, afternoon? Mm-hmm. So that obviously generates more ratings. Then in turn, you can charge more for your advertising dollars.
But you push it on them, right? I mean, make it like, hey, you're
preempt
gonna schedule.
Them.
Like,
you preempt
if you
them.
Want Sunday night baseball, you got to carry this and this and that.
You're right.
You know?
Good call.
I think at the core of it, it's regional sport. Regional TV deals and protecting their own properties, but and then you wonder why the league is so regional. It's like
tell me this: if they don't get the ratings, then money goes. They lose money, right? If they don't get the right amount of ratings, they will lose money. While having these games being played while everybody's at work, they may lose a little bit of money anyway on TV, unless people are just going to go to the ballpark and enjoy it.
But it's this is your day. It's not about you make people conform to you, not say, hey, people are at work. We're not going to put no, have them put the game on, have them put it on the laptop. Yeah. When I was growing up in New York, and now I was in middle school and early high school, guys would bring in, no joke, little radios. And now we have iPhones and stuff.
Really?
They would bring and we would listen to the Yankee game at lunch.
That's
no
cool.
joke. And I don't think people do that anymore.
Oh, no.
I don't think kids do that anymore. And I'm not talking about radio. I'm talking about follow the games like so close. It was such a big deal. And now it's not. And it makes me sad, but it pisses me off because you're helping kill this thing.
They don't care, it seems like. Look at the ratings for the World Series last year.
8.5 million people.
That's all who watched the game is 8.5 million people. How many people watched the game, Caitlin Clark, all right, on a Monday?
It peaked at almost 5 million.
5 million.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
On a Monday on cable.
On a Monday.
On cable.
Monday.
You guys have kids. Do your kids play baseball?
He did T-ball. Phil is so young.
Yeah. My son's getting ready to start actually T-ball next month. We're going to try it. He's getting ready to be four, so I don't even know if it's going to work out.
Oh, just test on the water.
Yeah.
But that's the thing I was going to say. Like, when I grew up and I'm in North Glen and as a young man, like, You can't go by a park without seeing kids hitting the ball or throwing it around. And again, now I don't have kids and I don't hang out at parks, skate parks, I guess. But I can't tell you the last time I drove by a baseball field and saw children playing baseball.
Yeah, no.
I didn't think about that.
No,
I did not
it's crazy.
Think about it,
no, yeah, just like that, like that classic like Americana thing that you would pass. Like, they're you just don't see it. You just don't see it.
It's sad. It actually is sad.
It does.
Don't see a bunch of kids out there in the streets anymore anyway. Just out there playing basketball in the streets, hockey, like you said back in the day where you used to do, Zach, where you guys would put two nets together and play hockey and pretend like you guys were in the NHL.
Yeah.
Baseball's not going on. Like, these kids these days are not out there doing these sports actively like they should be, and that's because of the iPhones and what they can do.
Yeah, video games.
Yeah.
We used to play football in the street. We'd have to move when the car came.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was
time.
And we'd have the electricity lines.
Yes.
And we'd go to the lowest one that hung, and that was our field goal.
Oh, wow.
And I just don't see that anymore either.
Crazy.
That makes me sad too. All right. We're going to get happy though. But before we do that, we actually have to stay in the sad zone and talk about what happened last night at Ball Arena. And that's where we'll start coming up next.
No, I'm talking about. Hold up.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Get out the way, get out the way, get out the way. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's how you come into a Thursday.
You either with me or against me.
When this, when I first discovered this song, this was like, just wore this thing out.
Every time we used to go out to practice, this song.
I was gonna say this had to have been in the locker room, just like.
And also the other song, like, don't get too comfortable. At one point, KJ, we're gonna have to put that song on. It said like it pretty much saying don't get comfortable. And coaches used to play that, you know, during practices to let everybody know you be out of here now.
Love it. Okay, what the heck happened last night at Ball Arena?
Mm mm mm.
Nuggets lose at home to Phoenix again. There's actually, I believe, a lot to unpack from this game.
Okay.
And we have nothing but time to do it. But I'm anxious. What was your takeaway watching that game last night on the national stage?
Yeah, watching the game last night, it's like we could never get our foot in, right? It was like we were always playing catch-up, trying to catch up with the Suns. Durant had a great game. Durant was on fire.
Yeah, that's vintage Durant.
Yes. And I don't want to be bearer of bad news or say anything, but it's good sometimes to see what Durant can be like back in the day.
So you're a fan of KD.
You know, I'm not the biggest fan, but he's smooth, man.
Oh, dude.
He's smooth like butter. Like, watching some of those games and the way he shoots, it's like it doesn't even touch the net. You know, it sucked for us as fans watching it.
Sure.
You know, and Booker didn't do as well. Bradley Beal, I didn't think was going to play. Played.
Yeah. And you know, he was hot early.
Yeah. So it was just sloppy play, Zach. And I just don't think we ever got our foot in and could get anything rolling.
Yeah. And, you know, down by as many as 15.
Yeah.
The largest lead for the Nuggets last night was 2. I mean, they were just, they were playing from behind throughout. And, you know, man, first of all, Jamal didn't play.
Yeah.
And I was just under the assumption all day yesterday that he was going to play. And because he had missed the Portland game, missed the Memphis game, I said he's been sitting for a week, like, to play in this game so he can play in the big boy ones. And there's an even bigger boy one waiting tomorrow for Denver, and we'll talk about that when the time is right. But throughout the show, I was like, Phil, they're playing. They're all playing. And because the game didn't start till 8,
yeah,
you know, we get the news later and later, Jamal went through warmups, didn't play. So it's like, okay, you're down a man, but Yusef Nurkic didn't play.
Yep.
And I know those two aren't equal, but he does play Jokic maybe the best of anyone
in
the NBA.
Dirty work.
Yep. Top two or three in that department for sure. So it's like they were missing something as well. But also, this is on the heels to a loss against Phoenix in Denver just a couple weeks ago where they came in here and won without Devin Booker. So I will tell you, and there's a lot of layers to this game. The poor shooting from three, the lack of rebounding.
Too many shots from the three.
Yes.
Too many.
Yes, yes. But in general, like overarching takeaway, nothing changes for me big picture about what I believe the Denver Nuggets are going to go win a championship.
Yeah.
The phrase that I've said repeatedly, I don't believe they're going to get beat 4 times in 2 weeks. And I still don't believe that's the case. But man, Phoenix might get them 3 times. Like, this may be, if these two teams meet, the longest playoff series that Denver has played in years, and I do mean going all 7 games.
And, Zach, we talked about this. Maybe it was off air. It was you, Drew, and I, and we were talking about who are we more scared of, right? The Minnesota Timberwolves or the Phoenix Suns? And I think we all agreed the Minnesota Timberwolves, but we also know that, the Phoenix Suns are right there. And it's because you have people like Booker, you have people like Durant and Bradley Beal, yep, and Nurkic that gives people like Jokic hell at times. But we just said in a 7-game series, it's impossible to beat a well-rested and healthy Denver Nuggets team. When I watched that game yesterday, Zach, they did not seem well-rested or healthy.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well said.
All right, Aaron Gordon, he did not look healthy.
I agree.
Even though he went for 18 points and he did his best.
Yeah.
You know, he was wore out. It looked like he was wore out. It looked like he was hurting.
Yeah, looks tired just in general.
Yes, yeah. Jamal Murray. I think that injury is a little bit more significant than we think, and it's an ankle, Zach.
See, well, hold on a second. It has been an ankle, and I'm really glad you said that. They changed it yesterday.
Mm.
They changed it, and I think, and I just talked about this on the Mile High Hoops podcast.
Yeah.
It was an ankle. It's been an ankle. And then I believe it was just yesterday, it got changed to a knee.
Ooh.
Knee inflammation. And it's his left knee. You saw that? It's his left knee. That's the ACL knee.
So what's going on? It's like when you're viewing Jamal Murray right now, because Jamal Murray, you know, even though he's had some great games, he has struggled this year with a little bit of an injury bug.
Yes, yes.
So what's your take on it?
I don't have a big takeaway because I don't have clarity on it. This was not even on my radar until yesterday. And he had the little tweak in the last minute of the game a week ago or whatever it was. And I literally thought it was just load management of like, hey, because another race is starting. This is a marathon. A marathon's getting ready to end. So, you know, like people put the bumper stickers, you ever see that? It's like, isn't like 26.2 is a marathon?
Yeah, something like that.
But do you see the one, do you see the other stickers of like 13.1? It's half marathon. A half marathon is about to start. And I know on paper, so you're going to get done with a big boy marathon and then a half marathon is about to start. And I know on paper you say, no, that's not congruent because it's way less games. No, 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 no. Going the distance and the energy and emotion that it will take to go win a championship, it is like half of an entire season poured into a month and a half. So that's what I was under the assumption that this was being held out. But if he doesn't play, I'm like, this is now on my radar. And I'll tell you this, if he doesn't play tomorrow night, hopefully you're not standing next to me because antennas will be flying up so heavy it's going to poke you in the eye. If he doesn't play tomorrow night.
Well, get ready, Zach, because I don't think the man's going to play tomorrow night. I have a feeling that he's dealing with some stuff. All right, he had shin splints one time. He had the ankle, right? And we all know ankles don't just heal. Usually once you hurt the ankle a couple times, it's just going to sit there until the season's done, right? It's always going to be loose.
Yep.
Right? Now his knee is kind of messing with him because he's having to
like compensate?
Compensate. Great word. Compensate, Zach. And now you're having different things go on.
Yes.
You don't want that to linger when we get in the playoffs. So I would not be surprised if we don't see that man. I won't be surprised if we sit here later on today and get a report saying Aaron Gordon is hurt. He does not look the same right now. He is wore down. He's tired. They have that man playing the center position at times, and he's not a center. Okay? MPJ, he is dealing with a bunch of stuff off the court, and you can tell. And he tried at times. You know, he got kind of hot at the beginning. Yeah, 14 points.
Yeah, he had a good start in the first half, yeah.
But he's just not into it. Even when he talks, it's just like he's just not into it. All right, and then Jokic. Jokic seemed like he was just stressed out and tired himself.
See, this is bringing up an essential question of how Denver is going to operate over the next 10 to 15 days. Hmm. And it's basically, you got to make a choice.
Okay.
And I'll give you the two options coming up next. I think the Denver Nuggets are faced with a decision here, and they have to figure out what is the priority over the last 2 weeks of the NBA season. I'll tell you what I think that choice is here in just a second. But question, is your bracket busted? Don't worry. Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000. Really nice prize there. But also, you're going to get a pair of tickets for every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. But here's the thing. If you haven't signed up for this, you got to do it quick before tip-off of the games that start later today. So get to denversports.com/hoops. All right, Denver needs to make a decision. And this is just the facts, all right? You got 9 games left in the season. What is more important? Finishing with the number one seed and having home court advantage through the Western Conference playoffs, or is it getting this team healthy? Mm. And if it's to get them healthy, to which degree are you willing to lose games? And is it you're just okay with not finishing with the one seed, but is it also the two seed? Like, what lengths are they willing to go? Because the margin for error with this basketball team and the margin for, and what I mean, not margin for error like within a game, but the health margin for error, to ignore it, it would be very, very foolish. Okay, very foolish. You look at their record when they are missing one of their starters, all right, against winning teams, Phil, they're 6-9. The world champions are 6-9 when playing a winning team without just one of their starters. And when they get to the playoffs, every team is a winning team.
Yeah.
They're all awesome and fantastic. And even just without one, and I don't care if it's KCP or Aaron Gordon or Michael Porter or
Jamal.
One
of those starters.
Just one of them, this team could be in trouble. And I don't know if they could win a championship without their full complement of all 5 starters.
I have to agree with you on that, Zach. Because when you look at this team, they're top heavy. We've been talking about, they're trying to build this rotation. They're trying to find out who they can have come off this bench that can help them out. And we've been saying this a lot, and we've been talking about their bench has still struggled.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. Not just at times, a lot.
Yep.
Peyton Watson at times looks great, and other times he's still, like, little. He's young.
Yeah.
Right? He makes mistakes.
Yep.
Okay, Christian Brown's another one that has done some really good stuff, and he's starting to come along more the more opportunities he get. But you have to have more than just him. We don't have a Bruce Brown here no more, right, that could come off the bench and give you those points that you need.
That's right.
When you need them.
That's right.
That's what Peyton Watson was supposed to be, but we don't know what we're going to get out of him.
Yeah, it's just Peyton Watson is that eight ball that you shake and then it's, you know, going to give you the answer. It's like, what version of Peyton Watson are we going to get tonight? Shake it, shake it, shake it. Not great. Or it could be, oh, my gosh, the guy looks like one of the 10 best defenders in the NBA in 2 years.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson, another one.
Another one.
You know, inconsistent. He started off the year really hot. At times, spot plays and has some good moments. But overall, you can't count on him every single night and think that you're going to get a lot of points out of him coming off the bench.
1 of 7 from three.
So you're so top-heavy with your starting lineup that if one of them is not healthy, which right now, Zach, Jamal Murray's not healthy. All right, Aaron Gordon does not look healthy mentally. I don't know if MPJ is healthy or not mentally, because that's just important as health, as the body, right?
Yeah.
Is mentally, are you there?
Just 4 points in the second half for MPJ last night.
KCP got in foul trouble. He looked like he didn't want to be there. He looked like he was frustrated majority of the game. Okay, so like right now, I think that we're dealing with a team that is ready for this season, like the regular season to be over, right? 9 games left. You're tired of it. It's like summertime's right there. Summer break.
Yeah, they're getting that senioritis.
All right, and we've seen it with spring break with them.
Right.
They were ready to leave.
Oh, that's good memory.
Because they know that they can turn it on when it's time, and they're ready for it right now. But also, it's like, handle your business now. Find ways to win. And if you guys aren't ready and you guys aren't healthy, then it, you know what? Stay out. Sit out. I'd rather sit out and be healthy, because it doesn't matter who we play. It doesn't matter who we play in the playoffs. We're going to still have to play somebody, and we're going to have to beat them. But I want us to be healthy doing it. There's no excuses. All right, we have a chance to get healthy. If we have a chance to get healthy, get healthy.
Well, it's you know, at what cost? And that's the thing, because I agree with you. I do. At the core of this topic, I agree with you. But the road in general, once the playoffs get started here, it's going to be a lot tougher than it was a year ago. And I remember talking about Phoenix specifically last year, because last year Durant and Booker joined forces at the trade deadline. And I remember saying that there is not enough runway for this group to totally gel and
the chemistry,
figure all that stuff out. Yeah. They didn't have enough runway because the trade deadline's not halfway through. There's like 20-something games left or whatever it was, or 30 or whatever. And I'm like, that's not enough time to beat a team like Denver, who has been organically growing for years.
Yeah.
But I remember saying, this time next year, watch out for that team. And I still think good on good. Denver healthy against Phoenix healthy.
Yeah.
Denver will win that series, and I will put money behind it. But my added layer of respect here this past month with Phoenix, just across the board, it's a new layer. It is, because I'm obeying my eyes and what I'm seeing.
Okay, watching this game yesterday, Zach, and we lose, and there's a lot of people out there that kind of shrug it off and say, oh, they weren't into it, or you know, in a 7-game series, we'll beat them. Like, how do you feel about that?
I don't like the dismissive tone.
Okay.
I don't. And love Jake Shapiro, DenverSports.com.
Yeah.
Does a great job. And I'm sure he'll be joining us more as the playoffs get started. And he wrote, hey, there's literally nothing to see here. Nothing to see. And I can't co-sign that.
Yeah.
I can't co-sign that. They have Hall of Famers who are in their prime. Durant's one of the leading scorers in the NBA right now.
Let's not forget that.
He is a top 5 scorer in the NBA, and on a lot of nights, he's not their best player.
Mm.
And so I am proceeding with great caution. I'm confident, but I'm not arrogant about it. And it's not a birthright to go back-to-back here.
Yeah.
Winning a championship is really hard, and where you play games that matter are going to mean a lot. And that's why I think there's a balance to be had with trying to get home court and finishing with a top 2 seed, with also trying to get guys healthy. And I think there's an opportunity to do it here in the next 2 weeks, and we can talk about where those spots are.
Yeah.
But just in general, because what I'm watching wasn't just guys making shots. They came in here to Denver. And I want to go back to your question, because I didn't answer it straightforwardly. Were you playing a rival? Yes.
Yes.
Were you playing a team that you that just beat you, and that team was, the Nuggets were upset after that win?
Yes.
That just happened this month. Were you playing on national TV?
Yes.
Yes. And so it's like, I don't know, man. I just
and you're
don't
playing a team that you might see in the playoffs.
Right. Right. So, it has potential to be a problematic matchup, and I'm just proceeding with respect for what they're putting together there.
You have to have respect. You have to have respect in anything you do. And I'm going to leave it off here with you and for our listeners to think. At some point, are the Denver Broncos Nuggets getting comfortable? That's all I want to know. Like, are they getting comfortable at this point?
We'll see, man. We'll see. And we didn't even talk about Phoenix's defense. And I do want to circle back to that because
there's a lot of meat on this bone.
There is. And we'll talk about it. But they deployed a certain strategy last night that I want to shine a light on here in a few minutes. And we will circle back to this. But it's a busy day of divide and conquer for the Denver Broncos. We'll tell you why coming up next.
Two divided by love can only be said.
It's a busy day of divide and conquer for the Denver Broncos because there are multiple pro days happening at once, and we are gathering the information on where the Broncos are actually at. So you got two different pro days going on. You got Drake May at the University of North Carolina. You got Michael Penix Jr.'s pro day going on in Seattle, the University of Washington. And the Broncos will be represented at both, but where will Sean Payton be? And we, at the time of this segment, still do not know the answer to that question. Now, we do know that because of the Charlotte Observer put it out there that George Payton and quarterback coach Davis Webb are in North Carolina at Drake May's pro day. Mm. We have not heard what is the status of Sean Payton and where he'll pop up, if anywhere. What do you make of the physical attendance of pro days? If Sean Payton does or doesn't go to these, what does it mean to you, if anything?
I mean, I feel like it speaks some volume, right? Now you still have your 30 team visits. You can still have these quarterback throw, you know, at a different time, and that's what may happen if they can't get to all these quarterbacks to say, okay, Michael Penix Jr., we're not coming to your pro day, but we're gonna have an individual workout with you, an intimate one where we can really just, you know, dissect you, see you throw, talk to you, have fun with you. I'd rather do that than just have a bunch of scouts at a pro day just watching you. I want to really get to know somebody, and I want that coach to get to know me. That's why I would love to have something like that.
And that's what they did with J.J. McCarthy.
They did. Yeah, they did that. They may still do it with Drake May.
Good.
Even though Drake May is still throwing out there on his pro day, okay, Sean might come rolling around in a couple weeks or another week from here and saying, hey, we're going to have a individual workout with Drake May.
Yeah.
You want to do that. You want to see what you're investing in. But it does speak volume that you have someone like George Payton and the quarterback's coach, Davis Webb, sitting in front of your face. And I've seen Davis Webb dap up Drake May earlier today.
Oh, is that right?
There's a video like they know each other. So maybe they do know each other.
Well, if you remember, they did meet with Drake May at the NFL Combine.
Okay.
And I remember what May said. This is earlier this month. I'm seeing it on Denver Sports right now, literally on March 1st, when Drake May said, quote, Davis Webb, he seemed right off the bat like one of the great quarterback coaches to play for. It was just fun being in there with those guys and getting that experience. So I don't know if there's a previous relationship between them or if they're just building it through this process.
Kissing a little butt.
Yeah, a little bit.
Davis Webb wants to make sure that Drake May feels comfortable if they go ahead and draft him. Why would you not?
Why would you not? Do you think they will circle back and do private workouts with each of these quarterbacks?
I do.
Okay.
I do. If they have the opportunity, they should go back and do it. And I think the reason why Sean's not there, Zach, is probably because they just got done signing Josh Reynolds. And maybe he's still here in the Broncos headquarters talking to Josh Reynolds. Because you don't ever want to be that coach that wants to sign a player give him some money, right? $14 million, that's not a little bit of money now.
Up to. We're still waiting on the guarantee amount. Still waiting on that.
Have this man fly down here and have nobody here. If all the general managers are gone, then why am I here? I feel disrespected now that you don't even care enough about me to meet me, to talk to me for a second. So maybe Sean's still in the building, and he's going to work his way up to going in and having an individual workout with Drake May later.
Yeah. We'll see if Sean goes to any of these pro days.
Mm.
Because, you know, he had this comment a couple days ago when he was like, this from the owners' meetings in Orlando, where he said, we like to throw a bunch at him. We like to throw, and he was talking about JJ, and he's like, we like to throw a bunch of information at these guys the night before, almost more than they can study for,
yeah.
And we want to see how they can handle it. And he's like, where's the break point the next day when we're throwing stuff at you? So he's kind of like Michael Penix when he was like, he put me through it.
Yeah.
Sean Payton seems like the guy that's going to put you through it, like throw you in the deep end of the pool and see what happens. Are you going to figure out how to swim? And with the pro days, it's so scripted to your liking.
Yeah.
You tailor around you.
Yeah.
And then I think when Sean Payton comes in, he's like, you're going to do it my script. My script's going to make you feel uncomfortable because I want to see how you react.
Yeah, I remember being in pro day, Zach, and having Cepho Luofau throw to me because I felt comfortable with Cepho. Cepho came down, he threw me the ball, right? We had different routes planned out for the scouts to see that they wanted to see. So everything I did, I went and worked on.
Sure, of course.
Right? Why would
course,
you not?
Right?
You know, me and Cepho did a couple of weeks of throwing together so that we kind of got on the same page. So I can see where someone like Sean's like, okay, I know what you guys going to do, but I want to throw something different at you. See how you react. See how you feel about it. All right. See what your receivers can do when you have to adjust to things, and then go out there and execute. So I understand, and that's a great point that you brought up. Like that is happening when you do pro days.
Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe Sean Payton's just not interested in your scripted workout. You know. So we'll see. I mean, if he really wanted to be at JJ's, he would have been at JJ's.
Yeah.
Man, I do wonder. And you kind of like hinted at this or said it in passing a day or two ago. It's like maybe Sean loves Michael Penix.
Mm.
Maybe the noise around JJ and Troy Rank referenced this yesterday when he was on the air with us. Like, is there too much noise? Is there too many breadcrumbs left that are too obvious that Sean loves JJ? But Sean is a guy that also has shown in the past that sometimes he just literally can't help himself.
Mm.
So I don't know what he's saying on purpose, or it's just sip that latte and Sean being Sean. So I don't know.
What's funny for us is we haven't got to see Sean enough, though. Not like he did when he was back in New Orleans, when everybody knew him because he was there for so long. We've seen 1 year of Sean, and it was a hell of a year.
It really was.
Like, we think we know Sean because of what he's done for this year, but do we truly know what Sean really thinks in his head and really does? Because I didn't know that Sean was going to go for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, no, you know? Right.
Like, I don't think nobody did.
Mel Kiper told that story on Chicago radio this past year.
I don't think anybody in New Orleans, other than his coaching staff, knew that he was going to go for Patrick Mahomes. I think that in today's game, it's a game. It's a game within a game. It's finding ways to trick people into thinking you want somebody, tricking these other coaches into thinking you really love somebody so you can go off and get the person you truly do love. So you have to find ways to leave false breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Right? Find ways to lure somebody into a trap so that you can get what you want. It's a game within a game, no matter how you think of it or what you say. You're playing the football game, but these coaches are always playing a game.
Yeah, it is fascinating, isn't it? It is fascinating. Well, we'll continue to talk about it. We'll keep our eyes peeled on if Sean Payton does pop up at one of these pro days. It sounds like the West Coast scout, and I forget how to say his name. I forget, but the Broncos are represented at Michael Penix Jr.'s pro day. We'll see if more information comes out about that. We found out about George Payton and Davis Webb because of a writer from the Charlotte Observer. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on what's next in that department, and we'll circle back a little bit later in the show. But in the meantime, did we see a real threat last night that could derail the Denver Nuggets title chances? And a wrinkle that we have not addressed yet is coming up next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.